You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Last week, I had a patient come in with a throbbing migraine behind the right eye, and after going over her meals and what she ate in detail, I used my own muscle testing to see which foods might be the trigger, the sensitivity, and we discovered that her migraines was due to mushroom in her salad, mushrooms. Now, today we have Dr. Gary Kaplan, best-selling author of Total Recovery, a revolutionary new approach to breaking the cycle of pain and depression. And he's going to go over which foods exacerbate migraines and head pain. Thanks for being here, Doc. Let's get right into it. What are the specific foods migraine sufferers need to stay away from?
Well, not quite as simple as that, but I wish it were. I think the most important thing, just to say off the bat, is we're not sure whether or not foods trigger migraines or whether or not you're beginning a migraine cycle. And what's happening is because you have increased sensitivity of the nervous system, then in those cases, the foods or other triggers, such as light, sound, and odors, will trip you off into the development of a migraine. But that having been said, anything you can do that'll help reduce the threshold is going to help. And so paying attention to your diet and looking at the types of foods that you may be eating that may be tripping off a migraine is extremely important. So keeping a diary to understand day to day what foods might be associated with your headaches is important. The big foods that we tend to associate with migraines tend to be red wine. You can also have problems there's a whole ton of foods that can potentially create the problem. But sharp cheeses, such as cheddar cheeses and the blue cheeses, chocolate has been associated. Chocolate's a very interesting thing, however, because chocolate has also been associated with reducing sensitivity of the nervous system to some pain syndromes. And so chocolate's kind of a plus minus.
I recommend, often the tyramine, and you just mentioned that, the little amino acid that can trigger those headaches. There's a whole list that you can go online and find foods that are high in it and just avoid it. But the meats, the cured meats, I find people are very sensitive to.
The cured meats can do it. Sometimes people have these Chinese food syndromes with monosodium glutamate. Will be sensitive to it. High-fat diet, interestingly enough, can create problems with migraines. And in fact, a low-fat diet is used to treat migraines in many cases. And so paying attention to the fat content, fried foods, these things can make things worse. Coffee is an interesting one also because coffee will sometimes cause migraine and sometimes coffee will actually relieve a migraine. So we have people who are positive migraineurs and coffee negative migraineurs. And we actually use that differentiation when we're using acupuncture to help direct some of our treatment protocols.
Well, that's good to know that you do acupuncture because with acupuncture, in Chinese medicine, I know some information about it because I actually went a little bit, just studied a first 1 year of acupuncture, just wanting to learn the principles of it. And they talk about the liver meridian, the gallbladder meridian, being that it's blocked or there's a dysregulation of that energy. Do you know about that as well?
I do. I've been practicing acupuncture for over 30 years. And so liver is frequently implicated in migraines and a couple of interesting things associated with that. One is that there are seasonal variations to different aspects of acupuncture. So liver season tends to be spring. And sure enough, in the spring season, if you have a deficient liver, we tend to see more migraines. Or if it moves into too much excess, we'll see more migraines. So we see a higher percentage of migraines occurring in the spring season. And then in the opposite season, in the fall, we'll also see a high percentage of migraines in people who are liver deficient. So looking at these individuals, the other things associated with liver can be problems with depression, problems with anxiety, holding on to grudges that we see associated with liver emotionally. So liver is strongly associated from an acupuncture standpoint with migraines, but treating liver is one of the main ways that we approach the problem with acupuncture and herbs.
Now, that makes sense. And for me, when you were mentioning about the fatty foods, that also makes sense why it might be a trigger for headaches, because fats are obviously digested by the bile produced from the liver and excreted out through the gallbladder. So that really makes sense. You know, I know that scientists and doctors still, they just don't have a clear-cut answer what the root cause of migraine is. And for me, I'd like to know, in an integrative medical standpoint, which is what you do in your practice, it must be a whole syndrome, is it not? Like, there's a lot of different layers of migraines.
I think you're absolutely correct. And we're still trying to elucidate all the specifics in terms of the pathophysiology of migraine. But at its basis, I think what you're looking at is a sensitized brain. Now, clearly, there's genetics in this, because we see people who have parents, grandparents who have had migraines. And in fact, it's a little bit unusual to not have a family history of migraine, just have it show up as a one-off. But the fact of the matter is that in addition to the genetic predisposition to it, there's all kinds of things that move us toward having an inflamed brain and thus setting off a whole series of symptoms, migraine potentially being one of them. But we know that changes in hormonal fluctuations can influence migraine, and frequently migraine will onset with the onset of puberty in women, in particular around age 13. We also know that migraines will go away in a high percentage of women when they go through menopause. So hormonal influences have a significant role here, as we discussed foods, but also other environmental factors such as molds may have an influence on this if you're having problems with mold toxicity. If you have a problem, you know, when we think about foods, what doesn't frequently appear on a list are things like wheat, gluten. And the fact of the matter is about 30% of people who have celiac disease are going to present with headaches. And if you have just gluten sensitivity, about 56% of patients. So I can give you an example of one patient that I saw talk about in the book, as a matter of fact. She had been having problems with anxiety disorders and severe incapacitating migraine. And she had been through multiple therapies with all the different medications, and also had been seeing a psychiatrist treatment for anxiety disorders. But the fact of the matter is nothing was really working on her. And as opposed to exploring what was the relationship with her parents and what was the relationship with stress in her life, what they should have been exploring is what was her relationship with food. Because in fact, what was responsible for both of these situations was gluten in her diet. And by eliminating gluten from her diet, now she doesn't have true celiac, but she's one of the 6 to 8% of Americans who have true gluten sensitivity. The headaches resolved and the anxiety resolved, and we didn't need any other medications to treat it. So you need to be paying attention to what you're eating. The other thing on foods that I think is very interesting is that, you know, we think of the cheeses, we think of red wine and those kind of things, but we don't think about things like raisins, raspberries, figs, bananas, avocados, red plums, all of which have been associated as potential triggers for migraines. And as you said, you found that your patient was having trouble with mushrooms. So we really have to be a detective to start going through the list of what people are eating and whether or not we can see a causal relationship associated with the migraines.
I love that. Yes. I always say you got to be your own allergy detective to figure it out. Now, in my practice, I often see people with pain syndromes, you know, migraine in combination together, let's say migraine and arthritis, but specifically having depression. And I know your book, In Total Recovery, we talk a little bit about that. I just want to, you know, the last 40 seconds, I find that it's really a inflammatory issue in the brain coupled with other issues, like you said, genetics. And why is it the pain and depression go together?
Pain and depression go together so often because what they are, in fact, is not separate diseases, but symptoms of an underlying inflammation of the central nervous system. They are symptoms of a brain on fire. And then what our job becomes, and the only way we're going to be successful in getting people to total recovery, is finding out what it is that has caused the brain to become inflamed, and only then will we be able to resolve the symptoms of depression and pain.
Oh, that's great. Oh, gosh. I wish we had more time. Sorry about that. Dr. Kaplan, KaplanClinic.com. Please get his book, Total Recovery. This is Dr. Suzanne on Radio MD. Stay well. Ooh, 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 ooh.